Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Berlinale Panorama section, and we are here with Travis Matthews, director of Discreet. Good morning.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, normally what we do is to try to make, to summarize for our listeners the movie, but then I leave this thing to you, because I really don't want to jeopardize it. So how can you summarize the plot of your film?
I think the simplest way, just to like give people an entry point into the film, is basically to say there's an eccentric drifter. He comes home to rural Texas to make some sort of amends with his mother, and in the process is told that this horrible man from his past is still alive. And then from there, basically a thriller. The film becomes a thriller where he descends into this world where traumas are relived, and navigating what's good and what's bad and what's healthy and what's harmful becomes confusing to him. And it becomes his story of navigating that world.
You say that your movie is a thriller, which it is, but it's not like a normal, regular kind of thriller. Of course, it's not. You chose a different path of storytelling. So why did you choose that most complicated and most like demanding path?
Partly because the whole movie is the movie increases, or the movie goes along, we're even deeper into Alex is our hero. We're deeper into Alex's mind. And it is a complicated mind full of trauma and full of all sorts of navigating paths, as I said. And I thought this was the best way to represent that. I wanted the audience to feel that. I wanted the audience to be dropped into that. I wanted them to feel the non-linear aspect of that. I wanted them to feel the surreal aspect of that. And as you said, the sound is crucial to this.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the sound editing is like the best one I've heard so far. And it's really, it's like an additional character to the film, uh-huh. Let's say. Because yeah. It tells you more than the other characters.
Yeah, I mean, I knew from the start that I think our movie is more than a mood piece, but I knew that it was going to be, to a large extent, for sure described as moody and atmospheric. And I wanted the sound, in ways that I've never really experimented with before, I wanted the sound, as you say, to be another character, to be a supporting character that pushes us through the story.
Another character is this girl from this YouTube tutorial, mm-hmm. YouTube community, which is like, comes regularly throughout the film to help Alex to probably cope with what's happening or to... Uh-huh. Why did you choose this thing, not a real person, but a virtual person as a friend for him?
Well, there's a few things I want to say about this. One, I first got inspired by this idea of, her name's Mandy in the film, of this YouTube personality. Once I got, I was turned on to this real-life community that exists around something called ASMR, which stands for Audio Sensory Meridian Response, I think. And within this community, sound, going back to sound, is so, so important. And this is a huge internet community. I mean, the stars of this YouTube world have millions and millions of views on everything that they ever do. And all that it is they have these 3D microphones that are super sensitive, and they'll whisper into them, or they'll crinkle things into the microphone. And for a lot of people who have PTSD, or people who just need to sleep, or are trying to sleep, mm-hmm. or have insomnia, they use these videos. It relaxes a lot of people. For a lot of people, it gives them tingles and makes them creeped out. Mm. And I think it lives in some weird space that felt perfect for Alex, in terms of it meaning to be something that is soothing and comforting and to help with his own trauma. But as a viewer, it's a little bit creepy and maybe unsettling and questionable what her role is, what her influence is. And I'm sorry, you had a second part to that question.
Yeah, why did you choose? I mean, why?
Yeah. So I wanted him, you know, the character so alienated from the world and from real intimacy and from real connection. And I thought that it made sense to have his his most valiant effort at trying to find intimacy be through these layers, this interface, and that being a protection for him in terms of reaching out in that way, in a way that maybe he would never be able to do if he actually had her in the same room. And I also like the idea that in some ways it questions what his sexual orientation is. Mm-hmm. I think there's an easy argument to make that he's actually not even a gay character.
No. Listen, you choose to title this film Discreet. So what is discretion for you? Which kind of discretion you wanted to point out?
And there's all sorts of types of discretion, right? You know, I mean, there can be very innocent discretion of sorts. But when I was in Central Texas... and this movie was kind of stirring in my head, the seeds of it. I was coming across, first of all, I was coming across on all the gay hookup apps. I was coming across so many guys who had discreet is the main word or title or only word that was in their profile. And there would often be not even just disembodied torsos, but there'd often be black boxes. And I became really obsessed with this idea of just like a black square. You know, and none of that's in the film, but it just became an entry point for me in thinking about this darkness and this space that's hidden behind there. And at the same time, I'm political and I pay attention to politics and current events, and I just went even deeper into it when it was the year before Trump became new president, and something that I never thought would happen. However, I was in rural Texas and I was feeling. These people that used to be considered on the fringes in terms of right-wing, white supremacists, things that used to be buried underground or were just not discussed public or didn't have power publicly.
Or not considered, like there were too few to be...
Yeah, and the idea that these people were ascending with power was terrifying. And it's terrifying to me. And... So two things. I mean, I want to answer your question about discreet, because there's also there's different sexual, without giving away bits of the plot, there's different sexual things that rely on people being discreet, or you could say rely on them holding secrets, rely on them hiding things, rely on them keeping things from people in ways that are dangerous in my movie and are also in ways that are dangerous and then snowball into... larger things that are even more dangerous. And just to go back to what I was saying about the community that I was witnessing in Texas, this sort of rise of the alt-right, white supremacist, populist, rural thing, a lot of the evil that's in my movie is inspired by the rise of this community. And I feel in a lot of ways like where we're at right now in many parts of the world, but certainly in contemporary America, is a lot of these people that used to be on the fringe who now have power, it's almost like they made this Faustian deal where they would be willing to forego any morality and do perverse, horrible things all in an effort to maintain power. And... I wanted to channel all of that into this character Alex, his experience of diving into this world.
Into this world,
yeah.
How did you work with him with Johnny to get out of him what you wanted?
I mean, filmmaking is a collaborative effort, but I very much like to work collaboratively, and I feel like one of the things that's important to me is to get people who are in my sort of inner circle and making a movie, for them to be people that I have like total trust with and for it to be that kind of communication all the way through. And I knew that with the character of Alex, who Johnny plays, it was important for us to collaborate on this from the very beginning, you know, for me to send him. So this started with a treatment, you know, like a 3-page treatment. And I showed it to some producers and talked to some different people in Texas. I was there for another project, and all of them suggested that I reach out to Johnny. I didn't know who Johnny was. I'd seen him in some different films before, but I didn't know who he was. And he really responded to what I was trying to do. And to be honest, the thing that really connected us was politics. I mean, initially. Mm-hmm. We had many phone calls where we took these deep dives into... Into just understanding each other through the politics that we were passionate about. And once we were both on the same page with, again, politics, but then also the type of filmmaking that we wanted to pursue in terms of taking risk, taking chances, making bold statements, we gelled, you know, and I listened to Johnny, and he so often wore so many hats in this mm-hmm. movie, both as the lead actor, but also as a producer. And so
the movie is challenging under many aspects, and it's a very different kind of movie from the one you did before, which were challenging as issues, but less challenging as visual, probably. Why did you choose to change so, let's say, radically for this movie your kind of filmmaking?
I feel like a lot of the same themes that have been in my previous work around masculinity, sexuality, intimacy, and different commentaries on contemporary alienation and technology. I feel like those are, largely in the other films I've made and in this one too. However, I wanted to push myself to make something that, in some ways, relied on more. I was going to say more sort of conventional elements, which goes completely in contrast to what you just said. But I mean, there's no handheld camera in this. Mm-hmm. Everything is very methodical in terms of the shots that we decided on, the camera that we used, and the sound design. All of these things. I wanted to play with different elements that also could play with this idea of discretion in terms of what you see, what you don't see. So, in a certain way, without being too clever, you know, I wanted the audience to be experiencing something that was also a bit discreet. Mm-hmm. And these were ways in which I was able to make that happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also, I wanted to make a genre film. I wanted to kind of move in that direction, and I have a horror film in me, one or two movies away, and I wanted to make a film, which is discreet, that when I get to the place in 1, 2, or 3 years from now where I'm saying, like, okay, this horror movie I want to make, it won't seem like, really? I'm surprised. I mean, they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember you did that movie Discreet that...
Wasn't
a horror movie, but it gave...
It was the first step towards...
Yeah, I feel like it won't seem like so out of left field mm-hmm. if I am to make a horror movie now. Because, you know, there's a lot of tension and there's a lot of suspense in Discreet that I hope keeps people on edge.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Travis, for having been with us. Travis Matthews, director of Discreet at the Panorama in the Berlinale 67 edition. I'm Angelo Cerdi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.